You know, I had about 10 more minutes on that, but, you know, we'll do that some other time. We give the Lord praise. We welcome everybody joining us. Thank you for joining us this morning. And we're continuing this series, Our Weakness, His Power. Our Weakness, His Power. Let me kind of introduce this morning by saying this, and you may not think it's connected, but if you'll just hang with me, okay, you may see the connection before this sermon's over with. But we live in a battlefield. This is not heaven. If you think this world's supposed to be like Disney World, it's not. This is battlefield. This is a place where we learn to discover what all God's promised us and who we are in Christ and learn how to apply it. Because He's destined you for victory and not defeat. He's destined you for victory and not defeat. One of the ways that we battle, one of the ways that we fight, and I'm telling you this is a key, is by feeding. Say, well, I was expecting something a little more warfare-like. No, no, no. I'm telling you, this is spiritual warfare. One of the ways that we battle the enemy, one of the ways that we fight back is by feeding on the Word of God. Feeding on Him, feeding on Jesus. His Word is presence. Because when we feed on Him, I want to tell you, we're enriched in Him. And you know what? That causes us to line up and believe what He says about us and what He wants to do with us. And when we are believing, it's a whole lot easier to receive when you're believing. Your receiving's based on your believing, not on your efforts. It's by grace through faith. And so, a couple scriptures that back that up, and you're going to have to listen fast, because I got to go, okay, it goes like this. It's out of Psalm 1, and Psalm 1, verse 1 says this, blessed. We love that word, don't we? Yeah. See, this is God's will for you, is to be blessed. All right, Jesus took all of our curses on the tree, on the cross, in order for us to be blessed. This world is under a curse system. Because of Adam. But because of the second Adam, Jesus came. Then I want to tell you something. We are under His blessing if you believe. This is not true for everybody in the world. It's true for those who believe. And so blessed. And then the rest of verse 1 talks about things that you don't do. You're blessed if you don't do these things. Blessed is the man who doesn't go after the way of the world, who's conformed to the ways of the world, who communicates the way of the world and scorns the way of the world, because the world scorns God. The world makes mockery of God. The world makes mockery of you. The world makes mockery of this word. Now, let's go to verse 2 right quick. Here we go. Verse 2 goes like this. His delight, this is, see, a lot of Christians want to try to base their life on, give me a list of the don'ts. Just tell me what not to do. And I'll work and stress and fret and battle to not do the don'ts. Wrong. Do the do's. You'll probably remember this. If you do the do's, you don't want to do the don'ts. Because it affects our desire. Here we go. Verse 2. Do verse 2. And we'll see, you'll be verse 3. If you do verse 2, you'll be verse 3. Anybody interested? Here we go. But his delight and desire, this is feeding. You feed, you feed. That's how you fight. But his delight and desire are in the Word of God. And on God's Word, on those precepts, instructions, and teachings of God, he habitually, does this mean Sunday morning only? Habitually meditates. This is chewing. One of the pictures of meditation is chewing, chewing. It's digesting the Word. You see, that's more than having it run from one ear to the other. This is digesting. He ponders and studies it just during a devotional for 5 minutes during the day. No, that's not what it says. I'm telling you, when you will practice meditating, chewing, digesting His Word day and night, this is what you will be. You do verse 2. Practice verse 2. God will make you verse 3. Verse 3 says this. But you will be like a tree. Firmly planted. Storms come. But a firmly planted root system of a tree, if it's firmly planted and tended to, this tree won't fall by the wayside by any wind of crisis or by any drought that comes. Is anybody listening? By the streams of water. The picture of water is the picture of the Word of God. And so this is what it's saying. You be like that tree. By meditating on the Word of God, digesting the Word of God, you become the tree that's firmly planted, and your root system goes down into the streams of water. And so you are continually being refreshed and renewed, fed by the Word of God, ready to bring forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves also shall not fade or wither, and everything that he does shall prosper. Somebody say success. This is what God does. He brings you to success when you practice being a tree planted by the rivers of water with your root system going out into the water of the Word, and you practice meditating day and night on the Word. He causes you to bear fruit. Do you see that? Now, I want to tell you, you don't hear trees grunt. You don't hear them strain. They produce fruit. But let me tell you something. Fruit is simply a response of the flow of life that's in them. Do you see that? This is you. We don't have to grunt, strive to produce fruit. I want to tell you, when you're connected to the water of the Word, the water of the Word will grow you, will develop you. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, will bear fruit in your life. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. He shows up. He manifests. And when you practice verse 2, you'll be verse 3, and you won't do verse 1. Do you see that? Man, that's exciting to me. I think maybe it's more for me. I just love that. But that's success Jesus' way. Drought comes, trials come, temptation comes. But when the love life of the Lord is flowing from the water of His Word into your vine life, temptation's weak. You don't want to do verse 1. Do the do's, and you don't want to do the don'ts. But practice the being of verse 2. The practice of verse 2. And the Lord will cause you to be. Psalm 23, 5 and 6 says this. This is some more on the theme that we fight by feeding. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, I want to tell you, enemies are around. There's roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Those fiery darts come, don't they? But I want to tell you, our response, we could go out there and try to battle the enemy on our own, you're a loser. And let me say, if you agree with the enemy for your life, the enemy's a loser. And you're being a loser of the loser if you line up with the enemy. God has better for you than that. Look at this. You prepare a table before me in the very presence of mine enemies. You think about how that you're surrounded or what crisis or whatever. You feast on the Lord. What's on the table that he sets for us? It's Him. It's holy bread and living wine. He's the living wine. And I want to tell you, you feast on Him, and look what He does. What I do? No, look what He does when we feast and feed on Him. It becomes His battle and not ours. Look what He does. He anoints me, anoints my head with oil. Who's the oil? The Holy Spirit. Thank you for saying that. Somebody ought to do a series on triple anointing. No, we just did. The oil is the Holy Spirit, and He anoints you with the Holy Spirit to do what you can't do on your own, He does through you. Somebody say amen. This ought to make you want to feast on the Word. Look at the benefit. My cup runs over. There's probably not a better description of abundant living than to say that my cup is in the overflow. How's your cup this morning? I'm here to tell you the Lord's got a lot planned for you. And we receive victory by feasting on Him. And we walk it out. We walk it out. There's some application. Let me say this real clear, because I want to be clear. It's probably going to come up again before the sermon's over with. It needs to be said more than once. If you cooperate with the Lord All the blessings and the promises of this new covenant are yours. If you don't cooperate with the Lord, listen to me. You're saying no to God. You're saying to God, I don't want those blessings. If you say no to God, you're saying yes to darkness. If you say yes to darkness, you're saying, darkness, come and get me. I'm yours. I'm your prime target. I'm going to make it real, real clear. Cooperate with God. All the blessings of the kingdom will line up for you. Because his name's Jesus. Not because of you, because of Jesus. In order for the enemy to have his way with you, you got to cooperate with the devil. If you cooperate with the devil, then you're saying yes to the powers and works of darkness. And they come with destruction. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Is that clear to anybody? Thank you, because I got more to preach on today. Okay. Keep on asking. You say, well, I'm not there yet. Well, I want to tell you, the battle's not over till we win. Let me announce it real clear. If we don't quit, we win. Okay? You're right believing. Feeding causes right believing. Right believing causes right living. Somebody say praise the Lord. And you will find, because the Lord is not hidden it from you. He's hidden victory for you. He's not going to trust his victory that he paid for with somebody who's not cooperating with him. All right? It's all by grace, but it's a continual yes in your heart. If you keep asking, that's the way the Greek puts it out. If you keep asking, you keep seeking, you keep knocking, you will receive the door being opened for you. That's the promise of the word. That's the promise and heartbeat of Jesus for you. Okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 1 and 26 through 29, because these are kind of the theme verses for this series. And so I want to cover those every now and then. And it goes like this. For simply consider your own call, brethren, not many, didn't say not any. I know we got brains in the house, thank God for brains. Didn't say not any, not many. Not many of you were considered to be wise according to human estimates and standards. Not many influential and powerful. Not many of high and noble birth. 27 says, no, for God selected, he deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame. And what the world calls weak, to put the strong to shame. All right? I can't go back. Oh, I want to talk. I've already covered it. You're going to have to go back and look at this series. God also selected, he deliberately chose, what in the world is lowborn. Think about Jesus. Okay? He hung out with the common. With those considered insignificant. He didn't hang out with the highbrow royalty of the day. I hope you see this. What in the world is lowborn and insignificant and branded and treated with contempt? Even the things that are nothing. Boy, this means something to me because I've been called nothing in my life. That he might depose and bring to nothing the things that are. So get this. This is one of the ways of God. If you catch this, it's going to excite you about your life. Because in your life, there's all kind of potential, not because of your heritage, not because of your qualifications, not because of your skills or your money, not because of all the success you've had in the world. There is unlimited potential in you because of who Jesus is. Because Jesus takes those that are considered nothing and brings to nothing those things that are. He uses our weakness to manifest his power. Man, that is a theme all through Scripture. That ought to give somebody some hope here today. Hey, we are strong in the Lord. But do you ever wonder, because the Lord, we're strong in the Lord? Not because of our own strength. Have you ever wondered why we still have the flesh? Whew. Boy, if we could have a surgery to cut out the flesh, wouldn't that be fun? Well, that's going to happen one day when you go to heaven. I'm telling you, the flesh will be gone. But right now, the flesh is still a part of this journey. And it's not your old carnal nature, because according to Romans, that's been taken care of. The old man's dead. New nature, Jesus' nature, is inside your spirit. But I want to tell you, we still have this flesh. It's a part of this body. It's also a part of the soul. It's that part of you that kind of enjoys self-centeredness. Well, I'm going to get to that in a little bit. That's still a part of us. I want to tell you why it's there. Because it's a continual reminder. Catch this. It's a continual reminder that we need him. That we need him. He told the children of Israel when they went into the promised land, he said, hey, look, all the blessings, milk and honey, all the blessings, all the land yours. I'm giving you the city. I've got for you houses that you didn't build. I got for you vineyards that you didn't plant. I've got great blessing for you. But warning, 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 don't forget me. Because you can't occupy the promises of God, the promised land. You can't occupy the promised land without me. You can't have victory, even though I've given it to you. You can't enjoy the victory unless you depend on me. Hey, that's how that we describe humility, is depending on the Lord. You think you can go your own way, do your own thing? No, no, no. Okay, you're headed for a fall. I'm telling you, but if we depend on the Lord, all things are possible. It's a continual reminder that we live by him and through him. It's by grace through faith. And it's daily and nightly. All right? One guy one time said, well, I've dedicated my days to the Lord, but my nights are mine. Oh, no. That's a tug of war you won't win. That's not cooperating with the Lord. That's not humility depending on the Lord. I talk about the three R's. I don't have time to describe them. They've been in other series, but when we practice recognizing the Lord, receiving the Lord, and responding to the Lord with our actions, our life, and not just our words in church, but when we do that, then we receive the three P's. Well, what are the three P's? Well, it's the manifestation of what Jesus looks like in your life when he's the center, when you're recognizing him, and you're receiving him, and you're responding to him. You're saying yes in every way to him, then the three P's show up, and it's like this. It's his presence, his power, and his passion. You have a greater awareness of the presence of God. Okay? The presence of God is greater than an emotion at church or emotion when you're hearing a certain song. Or you see, no, I'm telling you, the presence of God, there's a consciousness of him where you are aware that he is with you. And that's part of the benefit of the three R's, receiving him, recognizing him, receiving him, responding to him, and his presence, and also the manifestation of his power. You see God do things in your life that you've never been able to do. That may be that sin that so easily beset you, that's followed you around and beat you up every now and then through different seasons of your life. I want to tell you, when you're practicing the three R's, the three P's manifest, and it's the presence and it's the power of God. You see God's power, supernatural. And one of the things that's so obvious and so precious is the passion of Jesus. You have love life for him. You just love the Lord. You love the Lord more than you ever have. And it's real and it's very precious. There is no substitute for intimacy with God. That's part of what we're born for, is to enjoy him. Are we enjoying him? So it's a lifestyle of humility, a dependence on him. Our flesh is that daily presence. Oh, man, I need to seek the Lord. Whoa, 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 I heard that. That ain't the Lord, that's flesh. See, recognition is the part of that. But when we're recognizing the Lord, it's easy to recognize the flesh. It's not a guesstimate. So we're practicing receiving him. Wrong thoughts come. Wrong feelings come. See, that's the enemy. And he can send these wrong thoughts, wrong feelings. But I'm here to tell you, are you going to reject them or receive them? You know, we've described it like this. You can't help a bird come to land on you. And that's the way those thoughts and those, you know, because the enemy don't know your mind. He can't read your mind. But he knows you well enough, and he knows mankind well enough. He's been practicing for a long time. And so he'll just interject that fiery dart, see what you do with it. If you keep it, embrace it and hold on to it. He says, oh, we got something here. Bring me some more. We're on a roll here. You see? You can't keep a bird from coming and landing on your head, but you can keep that bird from building a nest, building a house, building a fortress. And that's what a stronghold is. You know where the strongholds are in our life? They're between the eras. They're in the mind. Bible says that. But I'm telling you, God's made a way for us. A way. He is the way of escape. And he can set us free from those. And so are we going to reject those thoughts or receive them? That's a big thing. All right? If you're receiving of the Lord, it's easy to reject the thoughts. If you're not receiving of the Lord, then that becomes a severe battle. And the enemy will say stuff, well, it's just for a little while. It's just between me and you, and it's private, and it won't affect anybody else. And it's your life. It's your mind. It's your brain. We'll just be a little while. No, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's not just there for a little while. They set up camp. They build a fortress. And they don't want to just visit and help you have fun. They want to rule your life. I'm trying to help you. And so, but if we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so that's the key. It's not to fight flesh with flesh. It's not spiritual warfare. It's not physical warfare with physical weapons. Well, I'll just put my will against it. Your will not strong enough. Or you wouldn't be where you are right now. I'm trying to tell you that he's given us spiritual weapons that are mighty, mighty through God for the pulling down of those strongholds. He paid the price for our victory. We can have his victory. It would be cruel for the Lord to declare we have victory and not give us the power and the way to walk in it. He's a great, great Father. So if we walk in the Spirit, see, that's something all of us can do if you know Jesus. Then we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Flesh is not just a part of your physical body. It has a part of your soul too. And it likes to sin, that part of you that wants to sin. And I want to tell you, it shows up as selfish. Okay, I want to tell you, it's hard to spell sin without selfish. Because I is right in the middle. It's hard to spell pride without self-centeredness because I is right in the middle. Are you getting that? Sin came from Adam. But since you've received Christ, that's not your identification anymore. And if you're still identifying yourself as a sinner and this is just who you are, then I want to tell you, you've been lied to and you've been deceived. But if you believe a lie, you'll live a lie. This is why we got to be in the Word. Because the Word will tell you that that old man's dead and that Jesus is alive in you and that you're free from the old man. Now, if the old man's dead, you can come up and kick it and spit on it and call it whatever you want to. You're not going to respond. But if you believe that that old man's still alive, then you're going to believe that's the real you. And if you believe that's the real you, listen to me, that's how you're going to act. I'm telling you, Jesus has paid the price to set us free. You hang out here long enough, you're going to hear this, and we're going to show you that you are free, that the real you is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and that Holy Spirit will help you apply this and receive it and see it. And so this is what Jesus told Gideon, because Gideon's identification was as a loser and as a victim. And this is what Jesus told Gideon. He said, I am with you. I can work through your weakness. He said, go in your strength. And Gideon said, I don't have any. Jesus said, you go in what you have. All right, that's why we came up with that, talking about do it scared. Okay, do it. Just follow the Lord. And he gave him the secret to his success. He said, how? He said, because I am with you. And I want to tell you, that's the key to all of our success. It's not your brains. It's not you figuring out something. It's not your reasoning. No, no. It's recognition and knowing and being confident and being convinced. See, a lot of believers are not convinced. But being convinced that he is with you. Gideon asked this question. He said, how can I? I'm the least. I'm the weakest tribe. I'm the weakest clan. I'm the least in the family. I'm the weakest in my family. Do you understand what he was saying? Hey, and the tribes, there's 12 tribes. His tribe was Manasseh. It was considered the, kind of hate to say this. It was not the most respected tribe. Okay, let me say it like this. So he's the weakest tribe. And in every tribe, there are clans. And so there's a number of different clans in every tribe. And so he said, wait, I got to tell you, I'm in the weakest tribe, I'm in the weakest clan, and in every clan there's a number of families. And he said, not only am I in the weakest tribe, the weakest clan, but I'm also in the weakest family. And he said, even in my family, are you ready for this? Even in my family, I am the weakest in my family. And so what he was saying is, not only am I the bottom of the barrel, he said, I'm below the barrel. Ever felt like that? Anybody ever told you that? Well, I'm here to tell you, our weakness, he loves to show his strength through our weakness. This is one of the ways of God, okay? It's unlimited what God can do if we don't limit him. You say, brother, what do you mean limit him? I want to tell you, Psalm 78:41, and I don't have this for you on the list here, but Psalm 78:41 says that they hindered the Holy One of Israel. God was wanting to do things, had plans to do things, and they said no to him. Okay? Faith for victory requires our cooperation. See, I'm saying it again. Hey, if you cooperate, put your faith toward the Lord, he'll show you how to do it, and he'll do it. He makes it so. Unbelief brings about doubt, speculation, and causes you to compromise. You see the difference? Okay, it's not your lack of faith. You're allowing unbelief to rule. And I want to tell you, we can do something about unbelief. It's not your lack of faith if you know Jesus, but it's your unbelief that's causing you to say no to God. All right. This reminds me of David. And it's very, very similar what we're seeing with Gideon, we saw with David, because it's one of the ways of God that he's trying to show us. All right, so Samuel came by direction of the Lord to anoint the next king of Israel. And so he goes to the house to anoint the next king of Israel. Number of sons are paraded in front of him, and the Lord says no to each one. Now, this is not a public meeting. This is a private family meeting. And the Lord says no to each one of these. And so he turns around and he asks, hey, Dad, do you have any more sons? Because the Lord said no to all these. He said, well, yeah, I mean, we do have one, but it's just David. It's just the boy. You know, he's the youngest. And, you know, the only thing we let him do is the sheep. That's the lowest job. He out there taking care of the sheep, but just David. He had to be reminded that he had another. Disrespect. Somebody say disrespect. Keep in mind the way of the Lord. He chooses those people that God wouldn't choose, that people wouldn't choose, in order to confound the mighty, to show his might and strength through. So no matter where you've been or what kind of failure you've been a part of, there's hope for you if you turn your heart toward God. Well, I want to tell you. So he said, yeah, the boy, you know, it's just David, but he's out there with the sheep. And this is what Samuel said to him. I love this. He said, no one sets down till he arrives. Now, I want to tell you, when the family disrespects you and God shows up and says, respect. I say respect. No one's to sit down till David arrives. So they sent for him and David arrived, see. And God says, this is he. Now, listen, God uses the young. God uses the least as his champion. Now, you think about this, because it's just not too long after the... Hey, listen, Goliath was the biggest thing, the greatest the world had to offer. He was the mightiest warrior that was known. But God chose the least to confound the mighty. Do you see the ways of God? God took the least. He took a boy with a sling and a stone. Wow. I'm telling you, when you take the rock and you use the sling of your voice, I want to tell you the promises of God are voice activated. And I want to tell you, it can kill any giant in your life. He used a boy with a sling and a stone to kill the enemy. And listen to this, deliver a nation. You think God's able to deliver your family? Is he able to deliver your finances, your physical being? I want to tell you, it's God's way. Even if you're the least, Jesus qualifies you, and he receives the glory for it. It's proof to the world that Jesus is real. Let's go back to Gideon for a moment. He said, Gideon, I qualify you. I want to use you. And he's speaking to us. God chooses the weak and insignificant things to show up the mighty. Now think about this. Here's Gideon taking 300. I know there was a movie, The 300. This is the original 300. He takes the 300 into battle against so many. The Bible says it can't be numbered. Thousands and thousands and thousands. And he's got 300. God gives a plan. God gives instructions. I want to say to you that God has a plan for you to receive victory. And God has instructions. Are you willing to do it God's way? Here it goes. God tells them to take into battle, and they do. 300, 301. Go into battle with a clay jar with a little lamp inside of it, a little fire inside of it. You could say a candle or a little oil. So he's got light in a clay jar. Clay jar, light, and the shofar. Now, the shofar was a trumpet. It was a ram's horn. It was a trumpet. And so get this now. They got the clay jar with the light inside of it in one hand. They got the ram's horn, the shofar, in the other hand. Where's the sword? Let me announce to you. They don't have a hand for the sword. And let me announce something else. They don't have any swords. And so here's 300 going against thousands, well-qualified, well-provided for soldiers, professional soldiers, and they got both hands full of not anything that anybody in the world would consider a weapon. But mighty are the weapons through God for the pulling down of strongholds. And so they go into the battle, and God told Gideon, you tell them, you do as I do. I want to tell you, that makes a big difference. Because that's the way Jesus operated. He said, I don't do these things on my own. He said, I just do what I see the Father doing. I want to say this to you in all respect, but it's amazing what victories we'd have to bring honor and glory to God if we simply would hear God and do what he says. Hear God and do what he says. They did. They followed the directions, and they did. He said, follow me, do what I do. I'm doing what God says. Blow the shofar. This is at night. Blow the shofar. Announce the victory. They were to shout the victory. I want to tell you, the Bible gives instructions for us to give thanks before the victory shows up. To give a shout of glory, a shout of victory before it's manifest in the physical. We're to believe it and see it in the spiritual and cooperate and use our voice of victory against the enemy. And so they shouted forth the voice of victory. Before it looks like victory. I'm telling you, the world celebrates after the event. People of faith, people that know God, celebrate when it looks the darkest. They declare the glory of God. They declare the victory. No hand for the sword. But what they did was to break the jar. And I personally think they took the ram's horn first. They gave the shout. They blew the shofar, gave the shout. Broke the clay jar, and the light showed forth. And so this is what the enemy saw. They released the light. They released the light. We have treasure. Listen to me. If you know Christ, you have treasure. You have the light. That's what the Bible says. We are the light. You have the light of God inside of you in this clay jar. You have the light. And there is a breaking process. It's not fun. Any kind of brokenness is not fun. But I want to tell you, the Lord redeems the brokenness to show forth his light. And I want to tell you what has to be broken. It has to be self-centeredness. It has to be self-confidence. It has to be self-will. And if you're not willing to lay down self-will or self-confidence or self-centeredness, then I want to tell you, you won't see victory of God. Because self is connected to sin, and you're hindering and limiting the Holy One of Israel. So, the process of breaking is to surrender and to submit so the light can shine. And they shouted, sword of the Lord and sword of Gideon. Now, wait a minute, where's the sword? They don't have a sword. They're just confessing and professing and decreeing and declaring the sword of the Lord. It's invisible. Are you with me? I hope you're seeing this. It's invisible. We're to declare and decree the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Somebody been listening for a while. You know what it does? It defeats the enemy. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Our weapons are not carnal. You got to see that. You say, well, I know somebody. No, no, that's not you. The Lord has a plan for you. His plan for you is to do what He says. Follow His plan of His Word. Hey, the Lord loves to confirm Himself with us all along our journey. Gideon heard a dream. There was a number of confirmations. First confirmation is when he made a meal of worship to the Lord, and the Lord received it by fire coming out of the rock and consuming it. That was a confirmation. This is supernatural. This is Jesus. This is God. Another confirmation was the fleece, dry, wet. You say, oh, that was just doubt on his part. No, I want to tell you, see, it's the way you approach the Lord. We approach the Lord in everything we do, whether it's praise and thanksgiving or whether it's prayer, whether it's communion, whether it's the word time. I want to tell you, it's important, a confession of the word, it's important to approach the Lord in a worthy manner. And a worthy manner is not saying this, God, I don't believe, you're going to have to convince me. No, that's not what it's saying. Here's a worthy manner. See, it's the heart. A worthy manner, and this is Gideon. He's saying, Lord, I believe, but I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss. Lord, would you just confirm what you want? Because I don't want to miss. I want this to be you. I want this to be your victory. I don't want to miss. Now, I want to tell you, when your heart's toward God and you don't want to miss, I just got to say this. He loves to confirm. And it seems the bigger the situation is, the more He'll confirm. That doesn't hurt His feelings. He loves for your confidence to be in Him. So here's the key. Don't worship the fleece. Don't worship the fire. Don't worship the wind. Earth, wind, and fire. Don't worship them. Okay? Hey. Listen to me. God confirms through a dream. Don't worship the dream. Let it all point you to Jesus. Are you with me? Because He's the confirmation. And so this is what happens. The Lord confirms. He initiated this confirmation. He wants our confidence to be in Him. And so He told Gideon, sneak down to the enemy's camp. And he overheard the guards talking about a dream. And this one guard says, well, there's this barley loaf. I had this dream, wrote a servant, this barley loaf come rolling down the hill. And, it came, rolled down the hill and collapsed the camp. Now, let me tell you, the barley loaf was speaking of Gideon. Matter of fact, the interpretation of the dream from another guy said this, well, that's Gideon. But I want to tell you, it's more than that, because I just want you to know that barley loaf was common bread for common people. That's Jesus. Jesus is our holy bread. And He came for common people. And He wants to minister to you right where you are. And so God gave the dream and the interpretation to the enemy. So don't you dare start telling God how He needs to confirm. Okay, let God confirm. It goes like this. He said, the barley loaf is Gideon. He's going to destroy us. Now, Jesus is the holy bread. And Midian means strife. Isn't that interesting? And so I want to tell you, Jesus, the holy bread, wants to destroy the strife, the combat, the battle, the trouble in your life. He's our rescue. A loaf of bread's not a weapon. But when that loaf of bread is digested, when holy bread is eaten, it makes for us a weapon against the enemy. Do you remember what I shared? We fight by feeding. God uses the insignificant to defeat the enemy. How about the little boy's lunch in the New Testament? I had someone who was trying to quiz me. Well, what do you think that the different parts of the lunch signify? And was there something supernatural about the... No, 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 no. Don't use your reasoning. You got to go above your reasoning to the spiritual. And it takes faith. And sometimes to see in faith, you got to lay your reasoning down. Will the Lord confirm? Yes, He'll confirm. But there was nothing in the lunch that was supernatural. The beauty of the lunch is the little fella gave his lunch to Jesus. That's the part you need to see. And Jesus did the multiplying. Well, we take an offering around here every now and then. I'm so blessed by you precious people. But I, one of the things that we say is that, you know what? You don't have to provide the miracle. You just bring your lunch. Hallelujah. God does a supernatural Jesus. And it's the nothing in Gideon, the barley loaf that conquers the Midian, the trouble. It's supernatural Jesus. You've got the Lord. He's the victory factor. You got strife? Bring Jesus right into the center of it. Where is the Jesus factor in your life? Well, I can tell you that's where your victory is. I want to tell you a little example about healing. There was a believer in another city that wanted me to pray for them because they were having trouble, and they were going to the doctor to get checked out. I said, okay, let me pray for you. I prayed for them. They went to the doctor. They called me back the next day, and they sounded disappointed. They said, well, they didn't find anything. I said, okay. I said, look, don't get aggravated at me, but I want to try to help you. A lot of times, the Lord heals, and we don't recognize it if the doctor don't confirm it. You not have any symptoms or a test, that's what we prayed for. I believe often, hey, look, it's just like him because he loves to love on you. And healing's a manifestation of his love. It's just one of the ways that he loves on us. I believe often the Lord heals you before you get there. It may take a little bit for the symptoms to clear up, but I'm telling you, the Lord's a result of healing. We don't realize how much the Lord heals us. Probably won't know till we get to heaven how many times he's healed us, how many times he's rescued us, how many times he's protected us from all kind of stuff because he answers prayer. If you're one of those that's kind of feel like you're kind of going along through life and you see goodness of God and everything and you say, well, it's no big deal with me, I want to tell you, somebody else is praying for you. And if you don't believe it, go tell everybody to stop praying. I dare you. Yeah, that's what I thought. Here we are. We got the power of praise. We got prayer. We got the word. We got Holy Communion. There's all kind of different gates that the Lord's given us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and praise. All kind of gates that he's given us for us to receive from him. Look at them as delivery systems from heaven for you. But here's the deal. He's the process. Now, there's reasons we don't make drama over healing and deliverance and provision. We thank God for them. And we publicly give thanks to God. But we don't make a big... I had someone contact me the other day and said, you know, the Lord's done some healings in your... Yeah, we see healings. Well, why aren't you promoting them? You ought to be out there and telling everybody and that would draw people. No. That's not the way we do stuff. Because of what Jesus said. When the disciples came back from a ministry tour and said, hey, healings and even demons are subject to us in your name. He said, wait. Give thanks that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Give thanks for your position. Because it's your position in me that you're allowed to receive the manifestations of the kingdom of God. It's our position. So you celebrate your position. Are we thankful? You better believe it. But we don't overemphasize things. See, here's the deal, and a lot of people don't understand this, but we have a low-key ministry and not a high-key ministry. I don't know if you know what high-key ministry is. And there's some things that God does, and when God does something dramatic, it's God. But don't let man do it to try to convince people it's God. There's a difference. But it goes like this. Low-key ministry, the emphasis is on Jesus. High-key ministry, the emphasis is on man. We don't want that. I want to tell you, if we make sure that the Lord's the center, if we make sure that the Lord gets honor and glory, I think he's free to do much more. Jesus is to be celebrated over a gift, over a miracle, over the works. His works and even his words are to bring us to him. Esteem him, worship him, celebrate him. We even teach that when people are testifying, and we got a testimony service coming up, the Sunday after Thanksgiving. I hope everybody's here and bring people with you because it's one of the highlights of the year where the saints have the whole meeting to testify and brag on Jesus. But we even give instruction about testimony that, you know what, hurry up and get past the bad part. We don't need to hear about the pit. You may be called a little different than somebody else's pit, but a pit's a pit. Let's talk about the rescue. Get to Jesus and talk about what brings him honor and glory. That's something all of us can celebrate, and all of heaven celebrates, and all the people said. And so brag on Jesus. Some churches try to take a little tip from Hollywood and emphasize the dramatic, you know. Well, let me give you a little example. The little simple act of worship during communion. We're not surprised when people are touched physically or in their soul. They're healed or they're better during communion, the manifestation of healing. But I can't tell you the number of times that pastors have called that are sick, or the church sick, and they said, tell me what you do. I said, well, we practice communion. They said, oh, no, we do that. I mean, we do that 4 times a year. I mean, give us something else. Well, no. I'm trying to share with you one of the ways of God. That little insignificant cracker, that little insignificant volume of juice, I want to tell you it points to finished works of Jesus. And it's one of the ways that Jesus has to love on us. And see, you have to approach it in a worthy manner. And the worthy manner is this, is that, Lord, by faith, we give thanks for what you've done, what you've already done. By what you've already done, we exercise faith that we are receiving what you've already done. Do you see that? I want to tell you, it makes a difference. So quit looking for the dramatic and see Jesus. We tend to want something hard, not simple. Remember, God uses the simple insignificant to confound the wise. I don't think you have time for Naaman, do you? My wife says you don't. Oh, that was kind of funny. That was kind of cute. She's trying to help you and help me. Because Naaman's are pretty good. I just love Naaman. And so we're probably going to wait and talk about Naaman next week. Because you didn't bring your lunch, and it's good stuff. It's food all by itself. But I'm going to wait and share with you about Naaman next week. But here's what we want to cover today. And be sure you understand today. It's not too late for you. You say, well, I'm on the losing side. Well, he won to bring you to the winning side. And I want to tell you, it's not a matter of you earning it or deserving it. None of us deserve it. None of us can earn it. But it's not based on what we do or don't do. It's based on how good Jesus is. And I want to tell you, he is a great sacrifice. He's the perfect sacrifice. And I'm announcing to you in the name of Jesus that one drop of his holy blood was more than enough to obliterate all your sins, past, present, and future, into non-existence. And I want to tell you, based on his blood, based on his forgiveness, he qualifies you to receive. And so I'm telling you, you can freely receive. Now I want to tell you, it takes your cooperation, because you're not going to receive it unless your heart is surrendered to him. And I know that sometimes we pray with people that go through the motions and say the words, but I want to tell you, that doesn't count in heaven. Heaven sees the heart. God sees the heart. But I want to tell you in real simple terms, because we've prayed with children and people about to die, that if they'll turn their heart toward the Lord, he's already said yes from the cross. You'll turn your heart and say yes to him, then it's on. And the Lord is all powerful. You know, not everything that comes in our life is good. But I want to tell you how powerful God is and how powerful his love is. He can take your mess and turn it into a message. He can take your failure and turn it into his success. And this is what he promised, that all things will work together for good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Now, there's a lot of people that claim that are not according to his purpose. It's just like this. They want to say, well, just heal me, help me, bless me, so I can get on about my life and live it the way I want to. Well, I'm here to tell you, the Lord's got more in plan for you in mind for you than that. Okay? That's not prolonged help. I can't tell you how many times. Man, it's hard for me to say this. I can't tell you how many times I've sat down with people and heard their story and say to them, look, for 40-something years, 45, 46 years, I've got a number of people that's telling me the same thing that you said, that are now free and walking in freedom and victory because of Jesus. But here is how that we receive. It's simple, by faith, by grace through faith, saying yes to the Lord. And then you got to get your mind renewed. The heart's changed immediately. I mean, the spirit comes in, your spirit's made complete in Christ. But I want to tell you, this computer's got to be renewed, reprogrammed. And so I tell them, this is the way to walk out the freedom that Jesus is in you. This is how to walk it out, is through His Word. And so I share with them about how to meditate on the Word and being in the Word and soaking in the Word. Remember the root of your system down in the rivers of water? We fight by feeding and to soak in and take and prayer and communion and blessing the Lord, praise and thanksgiving and the power of all that. And they'll turn around and look me right now and tell me, I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. And then I tell them this, it won't work for you. I'm telling you, you can be saved and remain in bondage if you don't receive the promises, the freedom to walk it out. I want to tell you what God told the children of Israel, and I got to wrap up. I'll tell you what God told the children of Israel. It went like this. The land's yours. It's promised land. It's yours. I've already given you the victory. But you must occupy the land. Now, wherever you put your foot, whatever you walk on is yours. But there's giants to be defeated. There are walled cities to be conquered. But I'll be with you. I've already given you the victory, but you got to be willing to fight. You got to be willing, listen to me, to possess the land. This is what it's saying right here. Jesus has paid the price. The Bible says heaven has already said yes and amen to these promises for your life. Jesus has qualified you. But here's the deal, is that, you know what? These promises have got to be occupied. They've got to be walked on. They've got to be made a part of your life. You've got to have this computer reprogrammed, okay? Because it still operates off the old world system. But as you renew your mind and see who Jesus is to you, see the promises, see who you are in Christ, then you're able to believe. Your unbelief dies because of your belief. You give a greater allegiance to believing than unbelief. Does anybody see that? And when that happens, it's on, my friend. And that you got the Holy Spirit to help you with all of this. He makes it so. And so I'm announcing to you that every single believer, I don't care how young you are, how old you are victorious in Christ. You're an overcomer in Christ. It's yours. It's been paid for. Let's receive it. But before you receive it, you got to believe it. But I want to tell you, the Lord's made it possible for all of us. Now, here's the question. It comes back to you. The ball's in your court. What are you going to say? Are you going to be one of those of a number that have told me I don't have time for that? Are you going to say, the treasures of the kingdom are for me? And I've already committed and submitted my life wholeheartedly to Christ. And so it's my joy to go on the discovery of discovering who I am and who the promises of God are, what the promises of God, and applying them to my life. This is my journey. Because this journey will cause multiple blessings of the kingdom, not only in your life, but to those that you know and love. You can bless generations with your walk. Isn't that exciting? I'm so for you. I love you. Let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, we just take authority over every lie of unbelief, every lie of doubt, every lie of speculation. And Lord, we pray that they be exposed right now. We declare that the light of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, of who you really are, will be released in the heart and mind of every person here. And I declare by your Holy Spirit that there is a witness in their soul, spirit, soul, and body, that there is a witness that you are forever true and you are forever faithful. And that victory is ours for the believing, the receiving, and the walking. Lord, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We celebrate the power and the manifestation of your love in the kingdom. And we say thank you. And all the people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Let's give the Lord a shout.